fried egg requires a different technique. What you need to do is actually square the face so it'll dig down underneath that bad lie and propel that ball right out onto the green.
Here's the thing, playing out of a buried lie in a bunker is completely different than playing out of a nice, clean lie in a greenside bunker.
You need to be aggressive on any shot, whether it's sitting cleanly or it's a fried egg.
Well, we've all faced it, the dreaded fried egg. It's not to be feared, though. It's actually a pretty easy shot to hit.
Welcome to episode one of Explorations. I am your host for this episode, at least, Brendan Porath of Fried Egg Golf. We are heading to Northern Ireland as of this recording tomorrow night. We're recording this Monday, March 4th. We're headed to Northern Ireland for almost 2 weeks, not a full 2 weeks, for our first edition or first iteration of Explorations, what we hope will become a travel series. I think that's sort of reductive, more of a travel log. Obviously, we specialize in golf course architecture design, and we want to get out and see more of the great golf courses of the world, especially outside of the United States. And this will be the first attempt at that. We are headed to Northern Ireland. I am joined on the trip and this podcast by Andy Johnson, who you should be familiar with. I don't know what his title is. His phone's going off. He just ran a marathon. His title might be Marathon Boy, founder of the Fried Egg Golf. Also joined by Cameron Hurtis, creative director of Fried Egg Golf. He won't say this, but three-time winner of the Lido contest, knows a little bit about a golf course architecture design as well as photography. And Matt Ruchus, who took me like 3 or 4 months to figure out how to pronounce his last name properly, but that is a distinction, you know, that puts you with the rest of the world in my book.
Lots of credits to Matt's background. You know, he worked on the construction crew at Landman. He did the internship at Ballyneal and Sandhills that we profiled in a video series a couple years ago. And then before we hired him, he was working on the grounds team at Chicago Golf Club. So a few good courses in that bunch.
Didn't you just get a fancy degree of some sort about turf, Matt?
I did. I got a an advanced certificate. So I was kind of going down the route of trying to become a superintendent. Until Friday Golf derailed those those plans, but I still went through with it and got the certificate for advanced turf grass management.
For better or worse, boy. Derailed. Yep. And I think the better, because now you're going to Northern Ireland here. And I think we're pretty excited about that. That may or may not have been in the turf grass certificate future, but it is your future, immediate future this week. This will be just sort of an intro to this Explorations feed. We're going to talk about a couple things each we're excited about for this trip. Obviously, we don't have a ton of working expertise. We've done our research, but what we're excited to see up close, what we're anticipating. And then throughout the trip, just jump in this feed. We may have a 10-minute episode about Andy's, you know, getting the car stuck in a ditch. I don't know. That's very, very simplistic. But we're going to talk deep about the golf courses, initial impressions, about the culture we see, and just maybe something that surprised us in the design or a visit to one of the towns. So why don't we kick it off to you, Andy? Just give us a really brief overview of what we're doing, where we're going.
Yeah, for sure. We are we're going to Northern Ireland, as you pointed out. We are focusing on the Lynx courses, the courses that are on the coast. Those, you know, they have some inland courses in Northern Ireland and supposedly some that are pretty good, but March is not really the time to see those courses. So we are kind of just running up and down the coast of Northern Ireland. We're going to get in into Dublin, and then we're going to head up to Newcastle from there, where we'll spend a few days. That's home to Royal County Down, but also a stone's throw to Ardglass, which I'm very excited to see. I've heard a lot of great things, some supposedly epic scenery there, and some really neat holes. From there, we're going to head up to Portrush, and that's going to be our home for a long stay there, where we're going to see, you know, both courses at Royal Portrush, Port Stewart, Castle Rock, and then, you know, we're going to definitely slot in the Ballyreg, which is a 9-hole par 3 course. I think like one of the most fun things, I'd love to hear from Cameron and Matt about this. One of the most fun things to do with the golf courses in the UK, I just like to get on Google Earth and basically just like go along the coast. And that's what I did. As soon as I found out we were going here, that is what I did. And it was funny to see that we were all messaging about the same courses that we found on the coast that weren't really the big names that we're going to try and fit in.
Did you guys do that? Did you do the aerials? What did you, I mean,
yes,
we have like these sort of main centers that we're going to operate off of, but I think that's what I'm excited about, is to be along with you guys, to drop in on courses that go beyond sort of the showpieces. We know Royal County Downs having an Irish Open. It's the number one course in the world, depending on who you ask, or it's elite. Let's just put it, it's in a top bucket. And then Portrush is open, hosting the Open next year. So we know those courses are stunners. But what have you guys discovered sort of off the beaten path? Is that what you did? You jumped to the aerials, Cameron?
Yeah, that's something I do a lot. But I mean, I'll be honest, I don't. And part of the exciting thing about this trip is I don't know a ton about Northern Ireland. And outside of Portrush and County Down, I didn't know a ton about the golf. So, you know, Newcastle is basically like the southeast tip of the country. And I just got on Google Earth and I started dragging my way around the coast looking for whatever dunes, like interesting coastline. And just like Andy said, just trying to find some golf courses that maybe people hadn't heard of before, that I hadn't heard of before. And I think we all found quite a few, which is exciting.
Nice. Nice. Matt, what's been your research so far? A little bit of aerial?
Yeah, I did the exact same thing. I was on Google Earth, just looking around, trying to find what was cool. I feel like sometimes when you just like look up on a Google search, like best courses in Northern Ireland or hidden gems in Northern Ireland, it kind of just takes you to that same grouping. And Google Earth is just an endless possibility where you can search far and wide for anything that catches your eye. And that's what I'm really excited for, is just going to see courses that most people probably in America have never heard of, courses we've never heard of, and that are one-off and maybe a little bit more funky. Like the one Andy talked about, it's only 9 holes in a par 3 course. It could very well be one of the coolest courses we see there. It's right on the water. So I'm just really excited for that kind of exploration mindset and just finding new areas that are kind of unbeknownst to us and we get to discover for the first time.
Yeah, we have a few others that we centered on. Like, I think Cameron and I both were like, I think we must have been looking at Google Earth at the same time because we both found this place, Kirkustown Castle. It looks pretty neat. It's like on the ocean.
I looked at that one.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, that's the fun thing. I love doing this in the UK, just because you come across so many different courses that you've never heard of, as Matt illuminated. And, you know, they're almost like, I feel like you can almost never regret stopping and playing golf on the ocean. Really, I think about like, or a big body of water. There just are very few places where it's not going to be. And I mean, at the end of the day, the golf can be very mundane, but you're still staring at water, and it would be a place that you would enjoy walking. That's kind of my general test, is like, if this is a landscape that I'd like walking in, then the golf can be kind of whatever, and I'm going to be fine with it.
Interesting. I immediately took that personally upon the challenge of ocean holes that I don't like. But all right, so hopefully we'll be able to add some value. We're going to have this feed. We're going to have newsletter journals. We're going to have podcasts. We're going to have social reels, video. Obviously, we're capturing a lot of photography and video while we're over there. So subscribe where we are present. And like, as you guys are just talking about it, it's interesting. Like I wonder what people were doing when they didn't have Google Earth to go to Northern Ireland. You're just going based off the rankings and what value is there. And hopefully, like, you guys can't talk about this, but I can. Hopefully what we can share is like why it might be good. Like, these guys just established a little bit of their bona fides in understanding golf course design or what appeals to them. And, you know, everybody has their subjective taste, but hopefully us getting there, exploring, discovering, can add a little bit of color of what goes beyond an aerial, or what goes beyond a list, or what goes beyond just a blurb on a ranking or a travel guide. So, like, I don't know, we're going to try to come by all our opinions honestly and earnestly, and that's the point. And these guys have the bona fides to sort of get beyond why this trip might be worth it beyond the Sunners, which we will certainly elaborate on themselves. So
since we're at the pre-trip, I always like, what are three things that everybody's excited about for this trip? I think that'd probably be a good little thing. I've been thinking about it a lot. I had a lot of miles yesterday to think about the trip. I'm curious what everybody's like, kind of, if you did three quick things that you're excited about. What are they?
Cameron, you jump in. I've talked too much.
All right. First one, probably like with any trip, I'm excited to spend more time behind the camera than in front of it or behind a microphone. But you know, it's
you
the
hate
price
being on this
pay.
Podcast right now.
I do. Yeah. It's fine. It's fine. I think Andy brought this up in the first episode you guys did, or the trailer, I guess. But I think I'm excited for this trip to be a sort of a shoulder season trip, where the days, I mean, they're going to be fairly short. I think it's going to get dark probably at like 5 or 5:30. I'm not sure. 6 maybe. But it's really going to force us to like explore.
Here's a question.
The areas. What?
Does the sun still set in the west in Ireland?
What? That's
not. I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
We're going to find here. We might find out if we see the sun.
Yeah, we'll see. Weather's looking better as we record this Monday, but
yeah,
that can change quickly. So
it changes.
So
fast.
We'll have early nights, more time.
Early
to discover,
nights.
Is what you're suggesting?
Yeah, I think it'll be fun to. It's going to force us. I mean, I think you guys remember on our Scotland trip, as great as it is to play golf until 10 or 10:30 in the summer, you're done and everything's closed and you've got nowhere to eat and you don't really get to do much else that week, and then you're up at 4 o'clock the next day again. At least we are shooting. So I'm excited to sort of experience the towns in the evening. And then a lot of these courses have second and sometimes third 18s or nines that don't get talked about a lot. So like, I'm really as amazing as the main course at Royal County Down looks, I'm really excited to see like the second 18 there. And get some coverage on that. So yeah,
a lot of early buzz for that second 18 from people, you know, since we've announced the trip, saying you got to see it, you got to do this, you got to do that. And I would kind of, yeah, support, you know, concur with you on that one. I'm interested in that second 18, that second course. Same with Portrush, right? Like, what's happened there? You know, I read a lot about Tom Doak's confidential guide that Andy lended me, just about some of the possibilities down there. So just interesting to see some of those second courses, because we know the main hosts are going to be good. We're going to elaborate why they're good, but I definitely want to see those second courses. Matt, you got a thing or two you're pumped about before we dive in?
Yeah. The biggest thing for me is just seeing Lynx Golf in person. My travels in my young life have been confined to North America, and I've only seen Lynx golf courses in the United States that are far from true Lynx experiences. So I'm just really excited to be able to see them firsthand and experience what seems like will be true Lynx weather as well, rain and wind and not so warm weather on the ocean. So that's probably the biggest thing that I'm looking forward to, just because I've never actually played Lynx golf. And then another thing that I'm really looking forward to is checking out some of the building architecture of Northern Ireland. I studied architecture in college, and a lot of the studying you do is based on all these old buildings that are in Europe that were built long before, you know, the Americas were kind of founded. So a lot of my understanding of architecture is based off of buildings that I've never really gotten to see in person. And just doing some quick looks across Northern Ireland and Belfast, especially, there's so many different types, from medieval, neoclassical, and Gothic architecture styles. So I'm just excited to check out some of those buildings and finally get to see stuff that I learned about for multiple years in person and experience architecture firsthand, because it can be a really cool experience just as seeing different golf courses is.
We will for sure be spending some time in Belfast too. We didn't really note that at the top. Obviously, like Portrush in the north and Newcastle in the south are going to be two kind of main hubs for the trip, but we will be obviously going through Belfast, spending day and night there, kind of up and down. So hopefully definitely see some more of that too in the Belfast area. So, Andy, thoughts, excitement, anticipation for this next 10 to 15
Yeah, minutes? I talked about this on the Shotgun Start, but I'm super excited that we have the time to spend two days at Royal County Down and Portrush. I think that playing a golf course twice, you learn so much more about it than playing just one time. So I'm super excited to see both those twice. Like, I think there's a lot of times great golf courses like kind of confuse you. There's like so much to take in your first time around that you don't really know. It's like sensory overload. And the idea, especially at a course like Royal County Down, where there's a ton of blindness, the ability to go around twice is really going to be an amazing aspect of the trip, and play it a second time and not have those blind shots, you know, knowing where to hit the ball. And what happens is, like, when you have a blind shot, you're just like waiting to crest the hill to see where your ball is, and you're laser focused on that and not everything else that's going around on the outsides, right? Because that's one of the things that I've noticed between walking a golf course and playing a golf course is you just get that laser focus on the golf ball, on your where your shot's going, and you kind of lose sight of what's going around you. And the more times you play a golf course, the more you start to realize like everything else going on.
Without trying to sound too cool for school, what's the one course you've played in your life that you got sensory overloaded and you're like, damn, I wish I could go back and really like you still got to appreciate it, but you love a second crack?
I mean, one that the first time I remember being like completely like head spinning was National Golf Links. And I luckily got to play it like again 2 days later. I didn't know I was going back, but yeah, I was going to not. And one of my friends said, you know, I don't want to text or talk to you for months if you don't go back for that second invite, if you don't move your flight. So I decided to move my flight. The other thing, one of the other things I'm super excited about is just seeing the dunes. Like, I live in, you know, where I live, we have like a lot of beaches and protected lands that are in, like, I just look at them and I'm like, oh my God, like these dunes, if you could build golf in these dunes, it would be unbelievable. And seeing some of the dunes just from the pictures, especially in like Portrush and Port Stewart, it is just like, they're just beautiful. You know, Matt was an architecture major at one of the finest universities in the world, University of Illinois. I was a environmental science major. So one of the things I think I like the most about golf is the unique landscapes. And I'm just, those dunes just look absolutely mind blowing at like Port Stewart, the first few holes and how big they are. And I just, sometimes I'm like amazed at just what was created by nature. You know, forged by nature, some might say.
Some might say. Martin Slumbers would argue forged by nature.
And then the final thing is just hanging out in the towns, as Cameron hit on. I very rarely feel like we go on trips where our lives are always dictated by the first 2 hours and the last 2 hours of sun. And it's very rare to go on trips in the winter when you actually have like night to work with and do neat stuff and hang out and get more immersed in the culture of places. And that's something I like, just really enjoy. I like spending time in towns and getting to know it.
On the dunes, it's my understanding that these are like more dramatic and substantial compared to like Scotland, right? Which are more like flowing to the sea, like gradual. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think like, you know, in the case of Port Stewart, like they're so big that the only way you can really play with them is like you play through them in the valleys because they're so big. And I think that's like, you know, that's what makes some of Scotland's contours so amazing is that they're small enough that they are integral features of the whole. But there's also an aspect of like departure from what you consider real in the world. That's amazing golf feature. Like an amazing design feature is when you're somewhere where you're just looking around and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe this exists.
Yep. Yep. I'd say one thing just to sort of jump off the culture point is this area, it's not too bad to get to from the East Coast of the United States. I'm kind of excited about that. It's a red eye, but like for me, it's as similar to going to like a West Coast golf trip on the United States, just need a passport. But for me, getting over there, I'm fascinated how there's so much great golf in like a country that's, what is it? We're going pretty much among the southernmost tips to the northernmost among them, not the farther, but it's like 2 hours, right? And this country, this tract of land has produced like arguably the biggest golf superstar, a professional golf superstar in the world of the last decade, non-Tiger division. And it had three major winners there in that 2010 span when you had McDowell, Clark, and Rory. And I'm just like fascinated what has changed since then. What has Rory, you hear the term grow in the game, like, or did the game just exist as it was and he was a byproduct of that culture of having these great golf courses and this great golf culture? And what has changed in Northern Ireland? I imagine everyone will run into will have some Rory story, like, oh, I, you know, cut his dad's hair for 5 years. Like, you're gonna get all that stuff. And it's kind of, for me, it's, I've mentioned this on Shotgun Starts, like growing up in Northeast Ohio during the time of LeBron, who was 2 years younger than me, and obviously,
or Kokrak.
Oh yeah, our co-craft. Justin Lauer. I don't know. Yeah, like my brother played AAU with LeBron for like a cup of coffee, and I still will tell people that. And you know, that doesn't mean I know LeBron. But like, what has Rory's impact been on the country? Professional golf, does it matter? Like, does that grow the game? Like, has that boosted the culture even further? I want to see some of this, like where this superstar came from. Like, what is Hollywood? What did it look like? What is his? It seems like he had a pretty normal upbringing. His dad, you know, poured pints in the bar at that club is the story and stuff like that. So I just want to see how that interplay with the golf culture and now having one of the biggest superstars in the history of the game coming from there.
I have a question for you.
What?
Do you think Tom McKibben has overtaken Rory in Hollywood?
Yeah, I was wondering, like, are there more Tom McKibbens? Is that a product of Rory or no? That's just the it's crazy that this little country had three major winners and one of the top superstars in such a small amount of time and has two of the top courses in the world. Like, I know it's not great, like, but it's a significant history and heritage and culture that I'm curious to see how it interacts with the day-to-day life there. So I think that does it. Do you guys like Guinness, by the way? Is everybody a Guinness drinker?
I like some Guinness.
Yeah, strong. Absolutely.
I'm going to be ready for a Guinness kick.
One thing we keep getting is like, this place has the best Guinness. There's a lot of like pub for the Port Stewart halfway house. The North apparently has the better Guinness, people are claiming. So maybe we'll start like a Guinness rankings list internally and we can share that with the world if we really
Guinness
want
tracker.
To.
Yeah.
My father-in-law always says that like this is among his one of his rants is that like everybody's like, oh, this place has the best burger. They have just the best burger. And it's like, it's a burger.
That's what I don't. I mean,
maybe that's the thing with the Guinness is it's a Guinness.
Like, is it really? When I went to Ireland, I wasn't really drinking for taste. I was like 23 last time I went, but we'll see. I don't know. A Guinness is a Guinness, but that's why I want to. People say this stuff all the time. Is it really different? You guys have more sophisticated palates. I'm going to lean on Cameron and Matt to sort of say, like, well, this one is substantially and actually better than the one we had 2 days ago. So, all right, think that does it for our first like preview episode of Explorations. What's to come? We'll be on the ground collecting this info, seeing these dunes, seeing these this culture that we're pretty pumped about. We can't wait to get over there. We
should follow Cameron and Matt on Instagram if you don't, because they're going to be, you know, they. I'm sure they'll put some Easter eggs up every once in a while, like 3 weeks after a trip. Cameron puts up some photos. I'm always like, oh man, those are good photos.
When did that happen? Yeah,
yeah. There's sometimes like trees or blowing grass. You know, those are his favorite things.
There won't be a lot of trees on this trip, pictures. I don't think. Yeah,
mostly I know grass. Lots of grass though.
Mostly grass. Yeah.
Maybe some blooming gorse.
Hopefully.
Start a little bit, maybe. We'll see. We'll see. So we'll subscribe here, read the newsletter. We'll be excited about that. So we'll be kind of doing soup to nuts on all platforms. And you're kind of coming along with us. You know, we're going to do content and videos and everything that, but you're coming along with us on this trip. And we want to kind of relay all we get real time back to you. So subscribe. We'll talk to you then.